You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my a man with a smirk on his face today. Mr. Mike with the smirk on his face because he's a Sox fan. He's just
come on, really?
I heard you over coming down.
Well, yeah.
You're talking a little cocky.
I was only talking that way because the Cubs fans disappeared over the weekend. Friday, you guys all started strong, like, oh, it's going to be a great series. And then Sunday, you were non-existent. So what happened to all you guys?
You guys, well, first, just for the record, and as you know this, I do not consider myself a Cub fan, but a recovering Cub fan.
There you go. That's the difference.
And that was before the series, and that's even more recovering now.
I think the running joke is the Cubs fans are telling the White Sox fans, for every game that you beat us, we're going to take out one of your players.
Oh. Yeah, as if that was on purpose.
No, that was not on purpose, and I don't hold Zamarja any ill will towards him. If anything, it was our retaliation pitch that I was really upset about.
Yeah.
It was just a mistake. And that's just my opinion.
Anyway, well, it's a rebuilding year for the Cubs.
Of course.
And the Sox, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know anything about the Sox. That's right.
Okay. All right. What else is going on? We have in Idaho a not too surprising raid on probably 11 different places or homes, including 12-year-old his 12-year-old daughter. On May 10th at 5:30 a.m., armed thugs came into the house and shook her awake, and men led her downstairs at gunpoint and forced her to lie on the floor next to her mother and father with her hands behind her head. And then another armed man took Farrar's 2-year-old son from his crib and would not let his parents hold him. Quote, "My son screamed for his mother for what seemed like an eternity," Farrar wrote in an email to friends. "I will never forget the helpless feeling of not being able to comfort my son or daughter." And the horrendous crime that Kyle Farrar was allegedly guilty of or charged with was selling Drug paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But now you can go to a hookah shop and get the most elaborate water pipe in existence. And as long as, I guess, you say that you're going to use tobacco in it.
Right.
You can buy it. But these guys in Idaho can't sell a little pipe that might possibly be used for putting marijuana in it?
Apparently not.
This is evidently was instigated by the Obama administration. The raid was led by U.S. Attorney Wendy J. Olson, a Barack Obama appointee. So all you folks who think that Barack Obama is turning his, you know, a blind eye, you know, and it's just letting, you know, not enforcing the drug war as Bush did are hopelessly mistaken. Hopelessly mistaken. But what gets to me is, again, do you really got to hold a 12-year-old girl at gunpoint and frighten the hell out of a 2-year-old kid? It's doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't make any sense to me. That's where our drug war is at, folks. All right, we're going to have I didn't talk about Ron Paul much, actually, did I, so far yet? None whatsoever, because I'm disappointed that he's not pursuing the California or Texas primaries.
Mm-hmm. I heard about that.
And
one of the only things I've heard about Ron Paul in the media is him giving up.
Which is bull.
Yeah.
That's not true. He's emphasizing the state county conventions to get more delegates. And I understand that strategy, but, I think it was an ill-conceived press release that allowed the lamestream media to report wrongly that he had dropped out of the race, which he hasn't. And let's see, over the weekend, they took 32 out of 38 delegates in Minnesota. 32 out of 38 delegates in Minnesota. So there you have it. Still getting delegates. We'll see what happens. I just don't see this coming. I don't see this turning out too well for either the Republican Party, Mitt Romney, or Ron Paul. Because I think there's such irreconcilable differences, and the Romney people are pursuing such use of, you know, scare tactics and force and chicanery, you name it, fraud, in order to get their delegates. Because there are no activists out there. Except I know Bruno's on the line, maybe he's an activist, and maybe he'll agree, even though that's not what he's here for. Maybe he'll talk a little bit about the presidential campaign, I hope. Because that's what I really want to talk to him about. Not the state of Illinois, which, as far as I'm concerned, is a hopeless cause. So, anyway, the Romney folks, they have no activists. The Ron Paul people is the whole activist wing of the Republican Party. And if you turn off the Ron Paul people, you guys are through. All right. That's enough of that. We're going to talk to Brutal Barrett at least for a while, unless he gives up on me. Because I would understand it. Because he's got to understand how frustrated I am. And he continues, and he does great work, you know, fighting for a good cause in the state of Illinois. But I just, Illinois, if it ever happens, is going to be the last state to ever reform. But we'll talk with Bruno after we break for a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats, or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Should 5% appear too small? Be thankful I don't take it all.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome back to the program a good guy, a good sport, and a good activist for the Republican Party, I guess, and also our other groups like he's involved with now, with his, for the good of Illinois, Bruno Barron. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How's it going, Ken?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing just fine. I know John got this arranged with you. I don't know who instigated it, but, the topic is supposed to be the state of Illinois, which I gave up on years ago.
That's understandable.
As is hopelessly, I mean, if there's any reform in this 50 states, Illinois will be the last.
Well, I'm not convinced about that, but
okay.
It's certainly understandable.
Okay, who's less bad? What state is less bad than Illinois?
Well, it's not about whether or not it's
worse.
Bad.
Actually, I mean worse bad, not less bad.
Illinois is down there with California.
Yep.
As two of the states that are literally so far gone financially that perpetual federal bailouts or cataclysmic political change are the only options. So I'll agree with you that it's right up there with the worst. But what I'm also talking about is that there's interesting things going on in the world, and they go on here too. And there's political dynamics, and you don't expect a state like Texas or Georgia, which is very very Republican, as you would put it, they don't have to as big a problem throwing off the yoke of tyranny. But what you do in a state like Illinois is you have the potential for faster backlash.
I gotcha.
Although, you know, the other part of that problem is that given the fact that it's the United States of America and there's 49 other states to move to, not to mention foreign countries like the co-founder of Facebook, some people, rather than fight, just leave. And I can't really say as I blame them, although I'm, for the moment, I'm one of those people who is willing to stay and fight. And quite frankly, I think we're making some progress.
Really? Well, I'd be one of those and I'm sure a lot of us are like this who stay in Illinois. If I didn't have such close family ties and business ties, I'd be out of Illinois in a second.
Right.
But when you have those kind of ties, then I guess you're forced to fight instead. And so you are fighting, and how are you? And you're very, you know, very sly in the way you've avoided me to try to mention the presidential campaign. But I'm still going
to
watch.
I'm more than happy to talk about the presidential campaign.
Okay.
Anytime.
All right, we'll get to that later. We'll get to that later.
It's an important issue.
but you say this, so we have made some strides in Illinois. What's going well in Illinois? What's being done better?
Well, you know, just to update everybody, as some of your listeners may or may not remember, I used to be the director for the Center for Transforming Education at the Heartland Institute. I am now a senior fellow at Heartland, and I've taken the position of executive director of For the Good of Illinois, which is Adam Andrzejewski's group that he founded, and it's a 501c4. And our goal is to empower citizens to demand effective, honest, and limited government. And Adam's strategy all along, and I was actually skeptical of it at first, is that you start with transparency. Because when you can see the greed and when you can see the spending and when you can expose it, that's what generates the anger and the outrage.
Yeah, that's a big assumption, I think. It may be true. But I think it's a big assumption that to believe that the Illinois residents are gonna react rationally to the.
Well, you're correct about that, and we're seeing some evidence. I mean, as I've said many times, I've seen evidence of both things.
Okay.
One of the things we see a lot when we do our emails or we expose something that goes out and people get on our list and they stay activated, they are then empowered to maybe do more Freedom of Information Act requests, other things going on, but. The other thing that happens, and I've actually warned about this, and I said we have to be very, very careful because the other problem in Illinois is people have outrage fatigue.
Yep.
And they said there's nothing we can do about it, and all they're doing is either living under the yoke of their obscene property taxes and the public employee greed that goes on in this state, or they've already developed or are developing an exit strategy. So I'm with you on the fact that it's not proven, but what we're doing, at the very least, is we are growing a fairly decent-sized contingent of people who, you know, A, not only take some action and you know, fire up the troops and get angry about things, but then the other thing, when I took over the C4, what Adam did is he's not involved in the C4 anymore. He started up a PAC. And we're taking the stuff that we promote and do on the C4 side and creating a body of policy. And then even though we don't coordinate with any campaigns, as you're not allowed to, the For the Good of Illinois PAC actually finds candidates or finds some decent people in the House or Senate, and there are a few. And we back them so that they can either get reelected or get elected. And this last year, this is a huge thing. It's, you know, from a standpoint of, well, did we really move the needle a lot? We haven't moved the needle a lot yet, but... And I don't know if you followed it very closely, but For the Good of Illinois PAC took out the number one Republican teachers union anti-choice, anti-education reform political hack downstate by the name of Roger Eddy. He's the guy who almost single-handedly killed the voucher bill, keeping 22,000 poor and underserved Chicago kids out of decent schools. And we just took him out.
Well, that's good. That's good.
So, again, can Illinois turn around? Well, that no one thought it could be done. And this is where I'm actually optimistic that things can change pretty quickly. And we're small and new, and we're getting our sea legs under us for this, you know, rough and tumble business. The fact of the matter is, the PAC can now walk into any legislator's office and show them Roger Eddy's scalp.
Mm-hmm.
And say, do you want to be next? And it's amazing how that changes the demeanor of the conversation with a Republican hack who sits there and takes cash from the teachers union and then wants to pretend that he's for free markets and freedom and liberty and things like that.
Well, that's good. And I think you need both the carrot and the stick approach, and that's the stick approach. Let me suggest a carrot approach, which I don't think many Republicans will go with, but I keep on suggesting it to you Republicans here in Illinois, that this might be a way that we actually get some things done in Illinois.
Okay, can I interject one thing really quickly?
Sure.
Board of Executive Illinois is a nonpartisan group.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Okay. I generally vote Republican in most elections. I think I voted for a Democrat once. I crossed over and voted for Vallis against Blagojevich. But, you know, me personally, it's fair to say that I usually end up backing the Republican position against the Democratic position. But I myself am what I would consider fiercely independent and right on the conservative/libertarian fence.
Okay. We'll discuss that later. Okay. My mistake. You are nonpartisan, I mean, as an organization. All right. Here's my suggestion, as a nonpartisan suggestion, that should bring both factions from the left and the right, those who really truly are leery of big government in every sense of the word. In every sense of the word, we have burgeoning prison costs in this state, in the country, and in the state too. And I would think it'd be a first good step as a libertarian type conservative to join with the liberal side on personal rights and move towards a more humane policy on drugs, including not incarcerating people for marijuana use.
You're not going to get much argument from me. I think the hardest problem, and you've probably experienced this hundreds of times in debates with people like me and everything in between. But the biggest problem I see with that, and I don't have a problem with the policy, is that if in a two-party system with everything being, you know, you got two parties and then you got two wings of each party, although there's barely a conservative wing of the Democratic Party anymore. The minute a Republican candidate says even the slightest nod toward decriminalization or legalization, and his conservative or his government opponents will tear him to shreds. So there isn't a Republican certainly in the state of Illinois, but probably a prominent Republican in the country.
Save Ron Paul and Rand Paul, but most especially Ron Paul.
Fair enough. And what they're
Justin Amash in Michigan too. Okay, there's a few. We'll say there's a few. Go ahead.
And they may be able to succeed in not getting destroyed in primaries and things like that. And again, I think the policy is a good one, and I think it needs to be debated. Wholesale legalization of every drug. I mean, that's the fear that the opponents of legalization sell.
Right. Well, I'm just suggesting a slow approach here.
I agree with you. And quite frankly, if it happens anytime soon, which it may, it's going to basically be based off of financial reasons. The same thing that's driving education reform right now.
Right. That's probably true. And you're right in your. I think you're. Your analysis of the political aspects of this is right on. I mean, you're probably my good friend Chris Lawson is a perfect example. The guy's a very rational man. He's a very good limited government Republican. And when I talk to him about this, he'll just admit, almost the same as you admit, you know, well, he won't go as far as you, but he'll say, I hear what you're saying, but I can't do it. That's basically what he says. And I'm thinking, boy, that's certainly not a profile in courage.
Well, sadly, this is like, and this is not necessarily a Board of Executive Illinois position or anything with Heartland either. I've come to the conclusion personally that for libertarian ideas like that and other good libertarian ideas, and quite frankly, I'll throw the left a little bit of a bone and say, some good liberal ideas as far as if you are going to have some kind of a support mechanism, find a more rational way to do it. If you're going to go that far, be that ecumenical, I don't think those ideas can ever rise in the corrupt duopoly of the two-party system. And we're never going to get beyond the two-party system until we go to something like jungle primaries and open voting so that all kinds of candidates can start vetting all kinds of ideas in a less partisan fashion, because when you have the control mechanism of every set of ideas being a highly ideological wing of one party that can prevent anything, and I'm not talking about moderate or centrist, but anything that diverges from the dogma, like drug legalization, then you can't, those ideas can never really come to pass until you kill that system.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and here is my response is, I think if it's done right, it can be done. What we have to do is you have to set up your support groups ahead of time. You have to set up, you have to be talking with Illinois Normal and all the other reform groups on the, you know, that are considered on the left. So
right.
That when somebody on the right proposes this, you've got your groups ready to, you know, pounce on those Democrats if they try to demagogue the issue.
Yes.
And I think if that's done right and you set up your, you know, your ducks in the row, it might be doing. I understand that there's a drug war industrial complex out there that is really the biggest fight of all on this issue.
Yeah. No, I don't really disagree with you. I mean, I would say that from a financial perspective, there's other issues that are capturing people's emotions
sure.
Pocketbooks, quite frankly. But
well, pensions, pensions is probably the biggest problem in the state.
Yeah, I mean, America is literally, Illinois for sure, and America is probably not far behind if you look at the actual debt, you know, total debt per capita. And I mean, we're actually worse off than Greece, and the only thing that's holding us up is the inertia of our wealth and power. That is,
right.
The minute that starts getting less sure in people's minds, you're going to see some serious trouble.
Yeah, but it's going to be tough for the left to break at all on the pension issue. As long as you don't break any contracts and you promise whoever was promised whatever. You pay them out, and you say, but from now on, anybody hired new, you're on your own with a 401k or something like that. Is that something that can work?
It yes and no. And not to betray the strategy, but if you look at the numbers here in Illinois, just from believing, you know, let's look everything encapsulated, United States of America is going to do fine, or we're going to muddle along somehow, and you're just looking at Illinois.
Right.
If you don't touch existing retirees, or you don't touch the people who are just about to retire, I don't think it works on the numbers.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, I'm sure you're right about that. On the other, but I'm just thinking from the political aspect of this, the left is always, and the teachers usually are going to come to you, to the Republican types, and say, aren't you the guys that believe in the sanctity of a contract?
And here's my response to that, and I would love to raise money for this lawsuit. Public interest lawsuits might be an area that Florida State of Illinois dives into. Yes, we believe in the sanctity of a contract. This wasn't a contract because the legislatures bound the taxpayers to spending that the taxpayers were completely unaware of, and I would actually go to the Supreme Court and make the case that this is exactly like an agency case, and our agents, the Republican and Democrat legislators and governors who signed this crap, were actively engaged in cheating the taxpayers, and they were purchased, they were bought and paid for by the other side. So sanctity of contract, that's fine, this was a voidable contract from the very beginning. Simply because it was corrupt.
I love your logic. Makes a lot of sense. And I might add that it seems to me if the teachers' unions, in advocating their side of things, can go on strike, then the taxpayers should have that equal right to go on strike.
I don't know how much you've covered this. If you start looking at stuff that
I haven't, I've been following my hero Ron Paul the whole year last year. That's all I've been doing, Bruno.
Well, and you know, more power to him. I think one of the things that Ron Paul is doing, and we, you know, if you want to segue into presidential, we can do that. I mean, one of the things he's doing so effectively is he's building that future base of support that will. It's not going to succeed. I mean, he's not going to be the nominee for the Republican Party. But what he's doing is he's building a base of support where more and more, every year, more and more people are looking at his views and saying, hey, wait a minute, they're not that crazy. And that's coming from someone who doesn't necessarily agree with him on everything. Last time I was on your show, I reminded your audience that I was an unapologetic imperialist.
Yes.
Will likely remain so. But
that's really limited government of you, Bruno. Have you ever addressed in your own mind, looked in the mirror and see, how can I possibly believe in limited government and huge and have a bigger military than half the world has or equal to?
No, and I think we can cut military spending. I don't think we can, what's the word I'm looking for? We can't run away from the position that we have in the world and expect, we can't just sit there and have this power vacuum occur where all of a sudden America doesn't do the things that it does and expect someone else not to fill that power vacuum. If you want to have a good debate, you should, there's a new book by Robert Kagan about, and I can't even remember the title, but you should have him on your show and debate him on this stuff. And he lays it out pretty effectively. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. Ron Paul's an idiot. He's just a crazy person. That's not my point. I think Ron Paul is very smart, and I think he's building the right thing. And I think that it doesn't hurt America to have more people thinking the way he does, because it balances out toward a better America built on a more rational foundation. So, you know, does that mean that I vote for Ron Paul in the primaries? Not necessarily. This year, I just ignored the Republican primaries because it was so painful to even listen to any of them.
Okay. All right. We're talking with very interesting Bruno Barron. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, please give us a call. 847-931-1410, and we will be back after a few messages.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, We will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
If you drive a car, car,
I'll tax the street.
If you try to sit,
I'll tax your seat.
If you get too cold,
I'll tax the heat.
If you take a walk,
I'll tax your feet.
Okay, we are back with Bruno Barron, who is the executive director of For the Good of Illinois, also senior advisor, senior analyst for the Heartland Institute. Did I get that right?
I'm with a senior fellow.
Senior fellow.
Which I think goes to, senior fellow, which I think describes my age.
You're not that old.
It's a title they give you when you leave a think tank and they still are going to have you around to do some speaking engagements.
Oh, I see.
Testimony or write some policy studies or various things, which I still hope to do out of Illinois for Heartland.
Are you going to draft some environmental billboard ads, too?
Yeah, I'm going to get right on that.
I guess that's kind of an inside joke that some people will get.
Yes, it is. But,
all right.
The billboards of it's really funny. When I first worked at Heartland in 1989 to 1990, I told Joe Bass. I said, people don't read policy studies anymore; they read billboards.
Oh, and so it is your fault.
It took him 25 years to put a billboard up, and then it was quite the billboard that people expected. But
okay. Well, Joe's a good man. I just hope he weathers the storm. All right, let's go. What do you say we go to the phones? We have Pete. Hi, Pete.
Yes, good morning. Can we look at this situation regionally instead of just looking at Illinois for a moment? It seems to me most of the economic and fiscal problems come from in Illinois, at least, and in the surrounding states, come from the power of the unions, both public sector and private sector, I guess you put it, teachers' unions and others, so forth. Indiana has, without a lot of fanfare, become a right-to-work state. It looks like Governor Scott Walker in Wisconsin has a good chance to survive the recall attempt, and therefore his legislation will remain in effect. In Missouri, the Democratic Party is in trouble. They've lost control of the legislature, and they look like they're in trouble. Same thing in Iowa is going on. Even in Minnesota, the DFL has lost control of at least one house, or maybe both of the state legislature. The only setback, it seems to me, that has happened is in Ohio, where Governor Kasich had enacted some union legislation to reform the role of the public sector unions, and if that was put on a referendum last fall, and that was defeated.
Pete, if I can interject, it's interesting to note, and it runs contrary to how I would have believed that things should happen. Kasich actually went about it the honest way, and he went after all the unions. But right. I guess that was politically inexpedient. Whereas Walker went after just the teachers' the right unions and left the firemen and the cops alone. And he, so far, he's succeeded. I wanted Bruno to comment on that, and then we'll get back to you, Pete.
Oh, okay. First of all, I think I caught everything, but the connection is pretty bad. But I think I got most of what Pete said. To your point about doing it honestly, I suppose that's one way to put it, but one guy won, or looks like he's going to win, and the other guy took a beating and lost. So
right. It was consistent. It was philosophically consistent, the way Kasich did it.
And anybody who knows Kasich knows that he's probably the most libertarian governor out there. But I think Pete was heading toward this. He goes, well, why not just make it a right-to-work state? Why not go for the full Monty? And it's easier to do that in a state like Indiana, led by somebody like Mitch Daniels, than it is to do something like that in Illinois, where quite frankly, I think if someone proposed it, they would actually potentially be putting themselves in physical danger. just given the way this state is, I mean, if you just look at the ruckus that's caused in Wisconsin, but I think what we have to do, and I think Pete is correct, and we have to start being very, very honest with voters. We have to say to people, look, the society cannot afford public unions. And just from a philosophical or a mechanical basis, every single dime they extract in terms of benefits, pay, healthcare, whatever a public union extracts for its members, it's extracting out of the pockets of the taxpayer, and the only purpose of a public union, therefore, is to make public services more expensive, and quite frankly, more expensive than they need to be. So we have to, now that is going to make a lot of Democrats and a lot of teachers, that's going to make their heads explode. But we have to make their heads explode. We simply have to tell them public unionization is a clear conflict of interest built into a relationship between employer and employee to provide public services. And earlier you said something interesting, Ken. You said, well, I don't think the Democrats or people are going to buy this, but here's what we're finding out, and this is one of the things I'm saying when I do speaking engagements for the good of Illinois all the time. You can't educate a poor child if you're creating a massive education bureaucracy. You can't run an a CTA if you're creating a massive CTA bureaucracy. The left has to understand that public unionization has destroyed this nation's capability of providing even a semblance of public services, and that's even prior to the debate of whether we ought to have a welfare.
So do you have a chance to talk to the left? Do they get that at all?
I am beginning to find that the left is understanding it. And right before the break, I started talking about, Rahm Emanuel, no friend of ours in any way, shape, or form, goes down to Springfield and says, if you don't reform pensions, Chicago property taxes are going to go up 100 to 150%. And I kid you not, that will entail people walking away from their homes for their property taxes the same way that it did walking away from mortgages during the mortgage.
Well, that'd probably be a good thing. I actually think that might bring about a revolt, finally, in the state.
But exactly. So I think there's people on the left that are starting to get
it. Now, I want to get back to Pete because I did interrupt him. So, sure. Pete, finish whatever you...
I'm just about finished. In California, which is the other great problem state, I guess, along with Illinois, in a comparative sense, Jerry Brown is now the governor. And he was governor previously, of course, in the 1970s.
Known earlier as Governor Moonbeam.
Governor Moonbeam. But he did have innovative ideas at the time. Now today he seems to be much more cautious. Do you think that he potentially could realize what is going on and attempt to, as his legacy, to reshape the relationship between the public sector unions and government?
Probably not. First of all, Jerry Brown was the governor in his first stint, who sold the state down the river by allowing collective bargaining in California in the first place. So he's the progenitor of the problem there. The other thing is that if you look at what he's doing right now, I look at it as like a strange kind of three-way race between California, Illinois, and New York. Those were the three states that in the last elections actually went the other way from the rest of the nation and doubled down on Democrats. And what you're looking at is now each of them are trying to do something. At first it was Governor Cuomo in New York. He looked like he was going to be the best one to actually rein in the unions. Then he collapsed and caved. Quinn passed an income tax increase. It looked like Brown was making noise. It's like a three-way horse race. And now Quinn actually looks better than the rest of these goofballs.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you look at what Brown is doing, he's pitching a massive income tax increase, which is doubling down on the worst tax you could possibly throw in California, making it even more progressive in taxation, which is literally destroying the state, while at the same time increasing spending on education by $6 to $10 billion, while at the same time refusing to do anything to actually curtail the power of the union. So Brown, if he had you over for dinner, Pete, and listen to your questions, he would probably nod and say all kinds of things about it. He understands where you're coming from. But when push comes to shove, he goes into the legislature and caves to this exceedingly powerful, literally frightening juggernaut of bullying called the public employee unions there.
Right.
And they will just destroy you if you cross them.
All right, we got to move on. Thanks for your call, Pete. I appreciate it. We have Chris. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. A little earlier in the program, Bruno brought up our pal Roger Eddy.
Chris, do you have your speakerphone? Chris, do you have your speakerphone on?
Can you? I'm on a mouthpiece. Is this not clear?
Well, it's okay. We're getting the resounding auditorium sound.
Right. Let me see if I can improve things here. Any better?
Yes, much better. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, Bruno had brought up Roger Eddy, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about him. I think most of us know, he was a double dipper. He was a state representative for 10 years and superintendent of the downstate school district for 15 years. In February, he was appointed the new executive director of the Illinois Association of School Boards. So he was about to become a triple dipper, and my understanding is that he resigned his state representative seat because of that, because of the outrage about that. So, Bruno, I wonder if you could expand a little bit on, you know, you mentioned that the PAC took him out, and what, tell me a little bit more. I might not have the whole story.
Well, I'll try and be brief. First of all, Eddy was on our list of people, not just because of the voucher bill, because we're for educational choice, and I am as well, but we were just looking at the spending side of things and everything going on down there, but the fact that he killed the voucher bill was one of the things that painted a target on his back. Adam Andrzejewski literally single-handedly recruited an opponent, if you're going to take somebody out in an election, that's the first thing you have to do, is find an opponent. And almost everybody in that area were just either unqualified, because you can't get, you know, a weird, crazed guy who has a eye in the middle of his forehead, a third eye in the middle of his forehead, and then sit there and say, okay, you're going to run against a powerhouse. You have to get somebody who can, you know, garner votes. And Adam recruited the candidate. Adam put together the funding for the guy. He was made a little bit more vulnerable based on redistricting. And then when the campaign started, I think everybody was shocked that there was actually money behind Brad Halbrook, who is the candidate that we recruited. And then the other thing that shocked them was that all of a sudden an organization started developing.
Did Eddy actually lose the election, or did he? I thought he resigned.
That's what's amazing about it. He didn't even stay in the race to take the potential loss. And quite frankly,
so he saw the. So he saw the writing on the wall and resigned.
He may have been able to pull it out, but I think there was a whole combination of errors, and this goes back to a little bit of optimism on my part. these old bulls, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, they are so unused to being challenged that even standing up to them creates what I call unforced errors. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're forced errors because
right.
you're standing up to them.
Right.
But it forces them into making errors. And this guy, then he goes out and he takes this, in the middle of the race, when he's, you know, apparently still very high in the polls and he's got union money flooding into his coffers, he then openly announces that right after the election he's going to jump ship. And he started telling all the people in the district at some of these meetings, you know, well, I'm going to win the primary, I'm going to pick my successor, and then I'm going to jump ship. And he so angered the Republican establishment that had literally gone out on a limb to back the guy that all of a sudden his internal Republican support collapsed. And I don't think there's any nicer way to put this. Adam, through his PAC, effectively, you wouldn't call it a recall, but he effectively recalled almost a quarter of Roger Eddy's term simply by challenging him and signing him a candidate. And now, instead of Roger Eddy, we've got Brad Halbrook, who's already installed with all the county board presidents and everything. They were all, lobbied, to put it nicely, to say, Eddie's out, put Brad in. And we got our guy in there almost a quarter of a year early, and now we have a very, very solid pension vote and
right.
education reform vote.
We got Chris, I have to move on. Appreciate your call. All right, we have John. Hey, John.
Hi, Bruno. Hi. I wanted to know, you said you have some people in the legislature you support and others you don't. Do you have a list done for the good of Illinois or something like that?
That's a very good point. And I don't know if we have a specific list, certainly not on the C4 website. The PAC website probably does have a list of the races we supported. And who he supported, and you were cutting in and out there a little bit, but I think you're saying who are the good guys in Illinois. Obviously, and the listeners may or may not be familiar with these names, but Kyle McCarter is in the Senate, and he's down in the O'Fallon area. Adam got involved in that race. Actually, when you think of what some of the things that were done. Three people who we challenged, who we were backing as challengers, literally got rid of their opponents before the primaries, literally by just leaving rather than being outed for some of the stuff that was going on. So Kyle McCarter is a current senator, and he was redistricted into a fight with another sitting senator who left the race. There's also Dwight Kaye from that same area. He's in the House. He's a very, very good legislator, sharp as a tack, retired trucking executive, knows the ins and outs. Ron Sandek from this neck of the woods, he's a former mayor of Downers Grove. Some people get on his case because of, he had to do certain things to balance his budget, but he's a reliable freedom vote on almost every issue. So those are two of the people that are there. Ron Sandek was reappointed to the Senate. He's going to be in the House. There's other challengers we could put out there. And then, of course, you have your standard. I think what's happening is a lot of the old line Republicans or they're kind of like moderates. They've been seeing the way things are going. And what it's doing is it's stiffening their spine. So you've got existing legislators like Dan Duffy, and Matt Murphy, literally sounding better than they have in years. And in terms of votes and proposals, doing things better, and even Tom Cross, who I have been very, very critical of, is starting to get it and understands that this state's very existence in terms of not being a ward of the federal government is in the balance and getting things done.
Okay. John, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Bruno, here's a quick suggestion. I don't know. We could use it to go another 2 hours. Red light cameras, construction zone speed limits at 45, one over with the cameras, and you get a $375 fine or something like that. Something's got to be done about that. If there's no construction zone workers around, and they're still going to try to nail you one over the limit. This is how, I think, instead of raising other taxes, this is how some of the legislators think they're going to bring money in. I got a feeling.
Yeah, and it's well, $300 fine for one over when there's no workers around is insane.
It's absolutely insane. Yeah. That's got to be changed. It would seem to me that that's something that a rational legislator, if there is such a thing, would partake in and change.
And of course, everything they're afraid of has to do with the money side of things. That they want the revenues, but they just can't raise enough revenue. I mean, unless they start confiscating everybody's car,
right.
I really don't know how they can get away with that.
Maybe we should protest, and all that'll just piss people off more. Go 1 mile an hour in construction zones, just really slow things up. But that probably won't work.
I think that again, it's a process, and what we have to do is we have to get good legislators. Then folks like your listeners and Adam and people at Florida Division of Illinois and our activist base have to start promoting good legislation. The biggest thing we need to do in this state right now, and this is going to become a focus of ours over the next few months, this state needs a hard property tax cap, because if it doesn't get one, our homes are all going to become valueless based on the property taxes that are set to hit.
They're already valueless. The banks already own them. But, Bruno, we got to do this more often. You're a great guest and highly knowledgeable and a great sport, too. And I want to have you on soon, and we could talk about power vacuums and a lot of other things.
Absolutely.
Great.
And we'll have to start talking about the Republican presidential race, too.
All righty. All right. Take care, buddy.
Yep.
All right. We'll just go with eternal vigilance. Is the price of liberty.